And good morning. Here we are on what is known in the United States for many, many years. I don't know how long the tradition has been going on as Black Friday. And I'm sure a lot of you are listening from your cars this morning because as I went up Route 95 this morning, Marion Mount Gilead Road, I saw the parking lot at Kohl's, I saw the parking lot at Walmart, I saw the parking lot at Meijer, and it is packed. So the tradition of commerce the day after Thanksgiving continues on today. Now, we have got a great day here for you, so if you are out shopping today, you'll want to stay tuned to WWGH Radio because this is the morning of famous broadcast voices in Marion, famous traditions in Marion, and coming up later on this morning, some great Christmas music. Now, joining me this morning from 8 to 10, longtime Marion legendary radio broadcaster with WMRN for 40 years, will be Jeff Ruth, and Jeff will even be hanging around for the first hour of Charlie's show this morning, and they're going to reminisce about something that Charlie sure knows a lot about, and Jeff sure knows a lot about, and that is the legendary Peanut Push, which will be happening here in a little over a week in Marion, and we're going to talk about that this morning as well. But a great family who you see at Christmas at the Palace, if you go every year, which I'm sure you do, or you see at community events. I know they do the nursing homes and things of that nature. They've been on this show. They do our Christmas party every year. The Leshesky family is going to help us ring in the season starting at 11:15 this morning and staying through the duration at 1 o'clock by playing some Christmas tunes for us this morning. And, of course, Charlie will be on live this morning from 10 to noon and then with me from 12 to 1. So that is the day of programming on this Black Friday 2019. And we will open up the microphones. And, boy, I hope it's the right one. I think it is for the return to these microphones of Jeff Ruth. Jeff, how are you?
I have never done Friday morning shopping.
Never Black Friday.
Never. Because for so many years, I worked Friday mornings till noon, and there's a lot of football games on Friday afternoon, and I don't do that much shopping. I don't buy that much at Christmas anyway. And it's like, nope, not going to fight it.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this morning, and I think the 5 years I was at MRN, I'm not sure we ever did a Thursday or Friday together on Thanksgiving, because you usually went on vacation on Thursday. So I would fill in for you on Thursday, and then on Friday you would come back, but they were just Christmas music days.
Yeah, it was, back then, we had to work Christmas Eve day. I didn't have to work Christmas, but I worked, I couldn't tell you how many New Year's days I worked. But, I pretty much worked every Thanksgiving.
You know, I don't know what that was back in those days, but one person would come into the building. That was a little insight to radio in those days, because when I was there, Thanksgiving and this day, the office was closed. The office people did not come in. And really, the FM people did not come in. If they did, I didn't see them. So it was just one person would run the AM station, and you would run it from 6 in the morning.
6 to noon.
6 to noon. And it was just you, and they usually allowed you to play Christmas music if you wanted to.
It was sort of the best. Yeah, you pretty much could choose what you wanted to play and so forth. But, you didn't want to get, most guests don't want to come on the day after Thanksgiving because they have family plans. I think maybe the only exception was a few years I had a couple people from the Y-Men would come in because they always did the Christmas tree sale, and it would usually start this weekend. And I'd maybe several years might have a couple people from the Y-Men come in and talk about the Christmas tree sale. But you don't want to invite people in that maybe have a day off or something like that. So it was just a lot of Christmas music. Lot of Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
You love them.
I do.
That was your thing. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I remember that.
And Mannheim Steamroller, but I love Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
I remember because I worked on Christmas Eve. I think we both did come in when I was working in the news department. I don't think Christmas Eve was a one-person day. Now, we did get off Christmas Day, which was the only day the station closed.
We would work Christmas Eve day, but, I mean, we'd still get done at noon or something like that.
I never understood this. Why was it the AM station had to stay on, but the FM station didn't?
Well, the FM was a lot easier to...
Automate?
Automate, because both of those were music stations.
Well, we found out this year the AM station was easy to automate. I guess
the FM was a lot easier to automate, and plus we still did news and the weather, and I'd still throw in the sports and that kind of thing.
Well, it was always interesting to me because those were some of the most I like those days, because the only music I know you remember this. Terry Cole would fill in for you, because prior to me, if you went on vacation, Terry would fill in. And Terry, Terry and I didn't talk a whole lot, but I always got the impression that his background was not in talk radio, because when he would fill in for you for 4 hours, he would play music. And the people did not like that. They did not want music on talk radio. But at Christmas time, that's the only time of year the AM audience did not mind hearing.
Yeah.
They would, matter of fact, they would request Christmas music, certain songs that they wanted to hear.
We had a song, Porky Pig, and I don't know if you remember that song, but it was, and I couldn't tell you who sang it, but it was like a live cut, and he did it in, sounded like a nightclub, and there were like six people in the whole showroom. And it was one guy, it was just, he was laughing so hard. And I'm going to miss not hearing the Porky Pig song of White, it was White
Blue,
Christmas.
Was it Blue?
Blue Christmas. Blue Christmas, yeah.
You know, I think we might have that.
Oh, do you?
I think we might. Maybe by the time this morning's over, okay, we'll hear that Porky Pig classic this morning.
I'll have a Blue Christmas.
Now, was that just somebody calling in? Is that how that became a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, have no idea. And I looked it up one time, the history of the song or whatever. But yeah, we found it, and it was one of those that we just every year we'd play it.
Now, I do want to let people know the Leshefsky family will be coming on at 11 today. They'll be here through noon, and Charlie will be in at 10. But the building is closed today. Now, we did not know this, but that's understandable, I guess. We probably should have known this. The building that we are in is closed, even though we are open. So what that means is the front doors are locked.
So you can't come by and pick up any tickets.
No ticket pickups today. So if you're in the area, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't pick up the tickets. But we will resume that next week, so you can come pick up your tickets. Now, I don't think anything's too prescient here at this particular point. But something that goes on this year... And has now, well, Charlie would know this better than me, but I think it was the late 60s, wasn't it, when the peanut push started?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, late 60s. So we're talking, 50 years now.
Well, it went away for a few years. When Charlie left in the 80s and went to DIF, it just kind of went away. And then when Charlie came back in 90, we kind of revived it. And then when Charlie left then in the mid-90s, then that's when I kind of got involved with it.
And tell people basically what the genesis of this event is.
You get down on your hands and your knees and you push a peanut across the street. And it costs $20. And all the money that is raised benefits the Junior Service Guild. And they raise money to help families less fortunate by Christmas presents and food and that sort of thing. They also, you can adopt families, and a lot of organizations, businesses, churches will adopt a family or a couple of families, and then the ones that don't get adopted, those are the ones then that go through the clearinghouse.
And I think we should mention, a lot of people give to Christmas Clearinghouse Junior Service Guild this time of year, but for so many years, this program has been spearheaded by Jody Reif and Patty Worcester, and they've just done a tremendous job. That's a lot of work this time of year.
Oh, it's a Jody especially, every evening she goes down, she sorts through the boxes, and she's got a full-time job with the city schools anyway. And she just runs herself ragged, but she does a terrific job. And you know, years ago she was ready. She said, "I've had enough of this," and she was ready to turn over. But she is so passionate about it, and they're just. It really takes somebody that really is passionate about a cause, and she's passionate about it, and she just couldn't find anybody that had that same passion. So it's like, well, I'll keep plugging away.
You know, Charlie talks about this a lot, and I do think about this. There are a lot of great groups in Marion right now that are spearheaded by people, and this would be one of them, Junior Service Guild and the Christmas Clearinghouse. Why is it so hard to find people to come in and take these jobs over from people who have done them for a long time? Because it is, I hear this all the time at the Historical Society. I hear this with service groups. I mean, these are not run by young people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I've been in the line when I first came to Marion. I didn't know anybody. And Joe Peters was our engineer. And Joe was in there was a Marion Noon Club and a Marion Evening Lions Club. And I was like, you know, where do I go out and, you know, meet people? So he got me involved with the Marion Evening Club. And at that time, it was a lot of school teachers, Bill Rudy and Herb Tillett and John Stewart, and just a lot of Emil Rubich, just a lot of teachers. We probably had 80 to 100 people. And, you know, we met twice a month, and we did all kinds of service projects and so forth. And as you say, there's a lot of them retired or passed away, and it's tough to get some of the younger kids, you know, younger adults. I don't know if the service projects aren't a thing to do like they were 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, but I'm in the Marion Evening Club, and I'm also going to some of the Ridgedale clubs because I like what the Lions clubs stand for. And, you know, I told the Evening Club a couple years ago when I was retiring, I said, you know, you're going to have to get somebody else to do it. Lo and behold, I'm still going to the Evening Lions Club because there's just not anybody to kind of pick that up.
Do you think there's going to be a point where, because of the internet is where I think a lot of this is being driven, that these groups do go away? I hope not, but I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I don't see young people getting involved, and I don't think the generation after this one is going to get involved.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I hope, much like the Lions, because that's about sight, that it goes on somehow. Maybe, but I think it will eventually turn into like online donations, just like everything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't people get together and talk anymore? What happened?
The internet.
Yeah.
You're right. Just, you know, yesterday was over in Mansfield at my sister's, and she had. She always has a nice Thanksgiving dinner, and it's just. You know, nobody was on their cell phones. I mean, literally, nobody. And we sat, I mean, we must have sat at the table for three and a half hours, and nobody got up. Nobody had to go in to see what the score of the football game was. Nobody checked their phones. And, I mean, we had people of all ages there. And it was just nice to sit. Nobody talked religion. Nobody talked politics. It was just, you know, how much we are, you know, how much we have to be thankful for. Brian and I talked about, you know, a lot of the traveling we've done. It was nice to sit for 3.5 hours and just talk. And that's the way it used to be. And we've gotten away from that.
We've moved so far away from it. You now go into a restaurant and there's silence because everybody's looking down at their phone. It's a very, if you lived in a world before cell phones, which you and I did, and most everybody born prior to 2000 did, you don't realize the change that there has been. And it's gigantic. It's done away with payphones, landline telephones, answering machines. People don't understand this anymore.
I had a job right out of college when I was in Cincinnati and worked with 3 months, 4 months, it wasn't very long. But I worked with a guy, and he would have to call the office, and we did a lot of traveling around the Cincinnati area, calling on businesses. And he'd always keep, you know, a couple of rolls of dimes in his car, and about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, he'd call the office, he'd get all of his messages, he'd write all the people, and then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, same thing, pull up to a payphone, call the woman at the office, the secretary, she'd give him all the messages, he'd write all the names down, all the numbers down, and sometimes we'd just park at that payphone for a half hour, 45 minutes, and that's how he made his calls.
It's all gone.
All gone.
And I don't know if it will ever make a rebound.
No, I don't think so. And from that standpoint, it's good that you don't have to sit at a payphone for a half an hour and make calls. You can still do it. But again, you don't want to be driving and making cell phone calls. And we've gotten to the point where, you know, I mean, every day you hear the term distracted driving.
Well, that's right. And I think that distracted driving has passed drunk driving as the major cause of wrecks.
I do too.
And I don't know if that's fixable. I don't know if you can do anything about that. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Now tell people about the Peanut Push, because there's still time to enter at this point, right?
We raise money for the King, Queen, Prince and Princesses. And whoever raises the most money then is crowned King, Queen, Prince, and Princess for the day. And we actually get crowns. We used to get them at Tri-Rivers. I don't know if we're getting them at Tri-Rivers again this year. But Bob Sanner, for many, many years, worked at Fahey Bank. And Bob would raise literally thousands of dollars. Do you have to get that?
I do. I'll grab that phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, you're having trouble with your... you're going off the air.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll check into that.
Okie doke. It's, you know, it's coming from the radio and also on my Alexa.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Let me look at that.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, do you have to...
Talk about the Peanut Push see what's going on.
Okay. Because you sound good to me, and I'm coming through the headphones, so I hope I didn't get up this early to come out here and not be on the air. But we raise money for the King, Queen, Prince, and Princesses. Bob Sanner, for many years before he passed away suddenly a couple of years ago, but Bob raised thousands of dollars over the years. People would come into the Fahey Bank. He would call people, and he would just get lots of donations. We'd get different women, Diane Morgan, longtime school teacher. She's won it several different times. Prince and Princesses, anybody that's 12 and under. We normally don't get a lot of young people that raise money, but we'll usually get a couple of princes or a couple of princesses, and they'll raise maybe $200, $300, $400 or whatever. So we need that money in at the end of the day next Thursday, which is December the 5th at 5 o'clock. Take your money, drop it off at the radio station, and then we'll count the money, and then whoever has the most money is named the King, Queen, Prince and Princess. And then 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, downtown Marion, they will get to preside over the Peanut Push. Did you get it?
Well, yeah, I think we're back on the air now. I think it was just, you know what's funny? When you relay a signal like we do, you have to relay it. Again, we're talking about the internet here. You relay it through an internet signal in a way. And I think if the internet signal is weak, something goes on. But I can hear it now in the radio in there, which is not hardwired. So I think we're okay. Yeah, that seems to be working.
You couldn't hear it before?
No, when our caller called in, I couldn't. So let us know how it sounds now.
Okay.
Just somebody let us know, 740-383-9944. We'll give it 5 minutes, and we'll see if it holds out, and if it does.
And if nobody calls, you figure nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening. But one of the great fun parts of the Peanut Push was that you were able to call in and nominate somebody else to push the peanut. Now, how many people Were they all nominated by somebody? Or did anybody enter themselves?
I don't know. You could. Maybe somebody did. The door guys, they would always put five or six people in. And the door guys were always a big sponsor, and they'd put some of their technicians in. The city schools usually put some different people in.
I think this is a good sign.
Okay.
This has to be a good sign. Go ahead, caller.
You're back on.
All right, thank you. That's all we need to hear.
The city schools, just because of Mary, or I'm sorry, caller called it Mary, because of Jody's involvement, she'll get, like, the superintendent will be put in. Maybe the football coach will be put in by the basketball coach, something like that. The mayor, going back to Jack Kellogg, somebody always put the mayor in. Somebody's always putting, might be Tom Robbins putting Scott Scherzer in, then Scott will turn around and put Tom in, something like that. So, again, it's a lot of good-natured fun.
And the donation has not changed over the years, has it?
Meaning as far
to nominate somebody to put
it. Oh, no. It's when I think probably Charlie started, it was $20, and it's still $20.
$20.
Yeah.
So how does this work now if you want to nominate somebody? If somebody wanted to nominate somebody, how do they do it? Because they used to do it during your program, did they
right.
not? Right. Yeah.
They could just call the radio station, WMRN, 8 to 5, kind of Monday through Friday next week. 383-1131 and just say, I want to nominate this person, or just stop in at the radio station, because I don't think it's probably anybody there now, but just stop in at the radio station with your $20 or $50 or $100 donation or whatever and say, I want to enter, John Smith into the peanut push.
Now, has there ever been a year when you did it that you were not entered?
No.
Now, you have not been entered this year, right?
Yeah, no, I was the second person.
Oh, you're already in?
Yep.
Okay.
The Shining Light Baptist Church put me in for a number of years, even though I had never been to the Shining Light Baptist. They put me in, and the last few years, it's Bridgewater Educational Academy, which is like a tutoring service. They have put me into the peanut push.
Now, there are honorary people who cannot get down and push a peanut any longer.
Ted Elsie and the folks at Marion Auto Sales, ever since I can remember, they have always been a huge supporter of the peanut push. And Ted's had some knee surgery, and the last couple of years it's like, hey, I'll make my donation. I'll give you an extra $20 so I don't have to get down and push a peanut. So, yeah, there are people that will, just give us a donation in lieu of actually getting down and pushing the peanut. We had one year we had to delay it about 30 minutes because we have to sweep off the road because, again, you literally get down on your hands and knees, and you don't want nails and splinters and all kinds of, things like that. So we had to delay it one year, about a half hour, maybe a little longer, because we had had freezing rain and snow the night before, and it was nothing but a sheet of ice. So we had to put down salt and try and, melt some of the ice before we could push a peanut. The coldest year, one year, it was 2 below 0. That's the coldest year. Last couple of years hasn't been too bad. It's been maybe in the 30s, upper 20s. Last year, temperature-wise, wasn't too bad, but it rained. And it wasn't a real hard rain, but it was a steady rain. And it started right about 9:30. In fact, and I give the weather people credit, because the night before they said started about 9-10 o'clock, and I kind of wish last year we had moved it up to say like 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and then we would have gotten through it okay. But again, that's part of the fun, is having to brave the elements. But by the time we were done, we were soaked. It was a cold rain, and it was one of those that just kind of soaked right through you. And the whole thing takes, by the time you introduce everybody and you the Harley riders will come down. They'll make a check presentation. The whole thing takes about an hour.
Now, has boy, that just went right on my head. I had a good question there for you about the peanut push. Has there ever been I guess it'd be Bob Sanner would be the continual king for many years.
Right, Bob. Yeah. And then when he passed away several years ago, and I was the king last year.
Oh, you were the king.
Which, that meant a lot to me, because I had told Jody about a year ago, when I had told Scott Sharver, it was around this time, I said, you know, because I had started in May of 79, and I said, you know, like to make it 40 years. So I pretty much told them last year that, you know, that was going to be my last peanut push. Well, lo and behold,
here you are again.
I'm helping them out again this year. But I pretty much told them that was going to be my last peanut push. So a lot of people made donations in my name. To make sure that I was the peanut push. Daniel Bradshaw, and I know Daniel from the credit union is running again this year, and Daniel's raised a lot of money the last several years. And Daniel came in about 4 o'clock, and I forget how much, but he had a nice sum of money that he had raised. And I said, "Oh," I said, "you know, I'll probably be calling you here, you know, a little after 5:00 and you know, do a little interview with you, and we'll play tomorrow in the news." And because I didn't know that people were raising money on my behalf. And then at 4:45 or whatever, when people started coming in, and then they gave the amount, and I forget what it was, but it was a really nice amount. And that meant an awful lot to me. Story that I've got to tell. And I love telling this story. It's one of those, wasn't funny at the time, but 10 years down the road, it'll be funny. Janet Thede, many of you remember Bob Thede. He was the Marion City School Superintendent. Well, Janet kind of had Jody's job back then. Janet kind of coordinated the peanut push and raising money for the clearinghouse. And at that time, we would go up until 9:00 in the evening. Why 9:00, I don't know, but that was just always kind of tradition. Charlie can kind of talk a little bit about that. But the last couple of years, we made it 5:00 because the Marion, Community Foundation, they have a nice get-together on that Thursday evening, and I always liked to go to that, and I couldn't because I was always stuck at the station. So we made it, the last couple of years, we made it 5:00. There was a gentleman who was retiring, and he had won it a number of years, actually, not as far as raising money, but had won the actual peanut push. And, I mean, he took it real seriously. A few people take it pretty seriously. Most people, it's just, if I finish 6th or 8th, or whatever, you know, big deal. But he had won it, and I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he had won it a good many years. So 9:00 in the evening is when we had to count the money, prince, princess, king, queen. We had somebody from the police department there because, I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars in cash. Now a lot of people just bring in, you know, a check for $411.19. Before, they'd have the 20s and the 10s and the 5s and the dime, and they might have, you know, $50 in change that they've collected. Now, most people just do a check, so it's not quite as much fun from that standpoint. But 9:00 in the evening, we had all the money counted, and we had a minister in town, and he wasn't in town for very long, but he came in, and anybody could come in at 9:00, and we'd usually get food from Buffalo Wild Wings or something, and we'd have some pop and chips and that kind of thing. You'd just come in, you'd count the money. It was always a lot of fun. So the schools brought in the money that afternoon, and it was like $4,211.27, you know, just using that amount of money. So they had already counted the money ahead of time. So the minister comes in, And we already knew what the city schools had raised. And the minister had raised quite a bit of money, but he didn't have as much money as this other person. So he just wrote a check out of his, you know, personal account or whatever. So he ended up beating this other person by like $10. I don't remember the exact year, but this was either the first year or the second year that I was doing the peanut push, because this was like 95 or 96. So the next morning, you know, I introduce the king, the queen, the prince, the princess, and, you know, congratulations to this minister who edged out this other person by $10 or $20 or whatever it was. Phones, you know where the phone bank, the phones lit up. People from the Marion City Schools know that the person that they had submitted had more money than the minister. And it's like, when you're on the air, you can't really do a whole lot. But they made it known that if we didn't get that resolved real quick, they were going to come out that morning, they were going to boycott the station. They were, I mean, they literally were going to pick it, you know, WMRN is unfair kind of thing. So I called Janet. This is like 5 after 6. So I called Janet when first opportunity I had. She was probably still in bed. And I said, we got a real problem here. So I explained the situation. And I said, I can't. I said, I'm on the air till 10 o'clock. I can't really do anything, right? But she knew enough of the information. So, and she probably knew the person with the city schools. So I guess got a hold of him, got a hold of the minister. And, you know, meanwhile, we talked about the peanut push, but I didn't want to say a whole lot about who won because I didn't know. And what had happened when they brought the money in from the city schools on that Thursday afternoon, whoever counted the money, like, forgot a $50 bill or something. It was like $50 short. So the minister said, well, he just would have written a check for another $50. So Janet called me after I got off the air at 10 o'clock. And back then, now we just do it for fun, but back then, we had his and hers watches from Carol's Jewelers. We had, like, from Ashley or one of the furniture stores, Nichols or something, we would do, like, a recliner. I mean, we had some nice little gifts. And Janet called me about 10 after 10 when I got off the air, and she says, I'm taking them both to lunch. Would you like to join me? It's like, no. I don't, at this point, I don't want anything to do with what's going on. So she called me that afternoon. She was in tears. She said neither one of them would back down. The minister said, well, I don't care if you had an extra $1,000. I would have written a check for an extra $1,010 or whatever.
Where's this minister getting this money?
I don't know. And I don't remember who he was. I don't remember the church denomination. It's not really important or whatever. But they both wanted those watches, and they both wanted the recliners or whatever. And I had a basketball game that night, and I can't concentrate on the ball game. All I'm thinking about is these, you know, two people. And I had visioned Saturday morning at 9:30, these two people coming up and getting in a fight, which is all we didn't need that kind of publicity. So I got home about 11 o'clock Friday night. And Janet called me, and she said the minister called her, and she said, well, it must mean more to him than it did to me. So he graciously bowed out, and I can't remember who this person was from the city schools, but he bowed out and allowed this person to be, the king. So we didn't have any issues on Saturday. But we made a rule that year, we will not count any money ahead of time. You know, somebody is, and again, now with the check, it's not so much. But if, say, Ted Elsey from Mariana Sills brought in a check for $500, and Daniel Bradshaw brought in a check for $490, well, if he knows ahead of time how much Ted Elsey brought in, Daniel might say, well, I'm just going to write a check for an extra $20, and then I'll be the king. Now, we don't know any of that, which is good. So at 5 o'clock on Friday or Thursday, we'll have some people from the Junior Service Guild, and they will count the money. So I don't know ahead of time. Nobody knows before 5 o'clock how much money anybody has brought in.
Now, isn't this all supposed to be based on a donation? Because I didn't realize that if you just wanted to knock somebody out of the box.
And that was one thing that I remember Janet Thede at the time saying, you know, this is a minister. This is somebody that's, you know, supposed to be, you know, giving and like the last person you would expect to be in this all-out brawl almost would be a minister who was fighting because he wanted to be the king.
Well, I wouldn't expect the school system to be in that kind of a brawl either. You would think somebody could have worked it out there.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Apparently that just isn't going to
happen. So, and I'm thinking, I never want to do a peanut push again. And fortunately, that was the only year that we had any situation like that. Yeah. All because when they counted up the first time, somebody miscounted by $50 or whatever.
I remember now what I was going to ask you earlier. Is it going to be broadcast this year?
Yes, well, we will be broadcasting at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning on 1490.
And that'll be great. 10 o'clock next Saturday morning on 1490. And how many heats are there usually?
We are very, now, I don't know about this year, but every year we're always right about 50. And the week of the peanut push, that's probably my worst week of the year, because I always felt if I didn't get enough money or if I didn't get very many people, it was kind of a reflection on me. And
how do you feel this year?
obviously, I wanted to succeed. But, you know, we'd start this about 6 weeks ahead of time, and we'd talk to people on the air, and we'd get people to nominate. And 50 was always my number. And year after year after year, we were always right about 50. We might get 48 one year. We might get 51 another year. But it was amazing how year after year after year was always right about 50. And usually that last week, we might be 8 or 10 or 12, but that last week, we would all of a sudden, you know, get people that would come in those last few days, and we'd always be close to 50. This year, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, one of the great fun aspects of the peanut push, and I think it was designed that way, we'd have to ask Charlie this, and luckily we'll be able to when he comes in an hour or two, was having the person's name read on the air who was nominated by this person.
Uh-huh.
So is any of that going on at this point?
Probably not. Yeah.
Did we ever learn the guy who replaced you's name? What is the, who's on right now over there?
It's not local.
No, it's not local, no. But I don't know his name.
Yeah. Now I lost my train of thought for a moment.
Mentioning it on the air.
But yeah, yeah. You know, Tom Robbins might drop off a check Monday afternoon for Scott Scherzer. So the next morning, hey, we got another entry into the peanut push. Scott Scherzer, hope you don't have any plans for, you know, this coming Saturday, because you'll be in the peanut push. And he's always, I mean, same thing with Jack Kellogg. I mean, every year, the mayor has never missed a peanut push. And Scott does very well. But what we normally do, depending on the amount of heats or the amount of people, we'll do maybe, say, 5 heats of 10 each. And not everybody will show up. The 50, we might get 40 or something like that. But, you know, some people might not be able to get off work or whatever. Or they wake up and it's 5 degrees and it's like, I'm not going out and standing in the rain or the snow for an hour and to push a peanut. But most people, when they got nominated, they would show up. So we would do about, say, 5 heats of 10. And then, say, the top two in each heat, then they would qualify for the final heat. Or if we have, say, not as many, we might do the top three in each heat. And so we would have a final heat. I always told people, I said, you want to do respectable. Like, say, you're going to take the top two. You want to finish, like, third. That means you did well, but you don't have to stick around and do the final heat. So it'll probably be the top two in each heat, and then they'll stick around, and at the end that'll kind of be the last thing. Sway's Trophy Store, they always do trophies for the top three people. We have little, you know, little gifts for the contestants and so forth.
So the king is the person who raises the most money, and the what do you call the person who actually wins the peanut push itself?
Just the
peanut push winner?
Peanut push winner,
Yeah. Now, will anybody know this year who wins if you don't listen to the broadcast on Saturday morning?
Hopefully Monday they'll have something on about it, yeah.
Well, we hope.
Yeah.
We hope. Now, basketball season will be starting soon, and you're right?
Actually, the boys start this evening.
And are you?
Ohio State plays tonight. So Ohio State knocks off the high school game. So I don't have a game tonight. I would have one tomorrow, but I'm going up to Ann Arbor. So I don't have one tomorrow night. But my first game will be next Tuesday night. It's North Union Pleasant Boys.
And all those games will be on 1490 AM, WMRN?
Generally, right about 7:30 or so. There's occasionally there'll be a girls game on a Saturday afternoon, but generally the games are on, it's usually Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, usually 3 to 4 games a week.
And the time of the games is usually about 7 o'clock?
It's about 7:30. JV games start generally at 6. And then you figure JV game lasts about an hour and 15 minutes, and then there's about 20 minutes between the JV game and the varsity game. So right about 7:30.
So on those days, you just tune over there, and you see if you come on during those times. And if you do, there's a game. And if not, there's not. That's how we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always thought, because I think this happened in the beginning of radio in Marion, I always thought that the newspaper should publish radio schedules for the radio stations for things especially like that, sports games.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't listen to the station or the station doesn't mention it's happening, how do you know? And we don't really have a local television station. Where in big cities they post the television schedules. Mm-hmm. I never understood why nobody ever followed a radio schedule.
And of course, not now and not in recent memory, but for a long time, radio stations and the newspapers, I mean, they weren't on friendly terms because they were all, you know, trying to get the advertising dollar. And we've always had a good relationship with the Marion Star. I mean, the Marion Star will probably do a story in the next week or so about the peanut push. And, you know, I've been interviewed different times by the Marion Star. You know, when I retired, there were several nice stories about that. So we've always had, I think, a pretty good relationship with the Marion Star.
You know, last week there's something going on with the Marion Star where people are not getting their newspapers. And somebody called in last week and was very unhappy with that. So I hope that has turned around. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I think maybe that's a sign of the times as well.
As I mentioned, my parents lived in Mansfield. My mother lives in Mansfield. And they used to get the Columbus Dispatch on Sunday. They can't get the Dispatch in Mansfield anymore. They can't get any delivery drivers. And they would deliver the Dispatch to, it was a Kroger store and it was a gas station or whatever. And I don't think they're even delivering the Dispatch anymore to Mansfield. Now, I know, like, if you go to Kroger's on Sunday or something, you can still find the Dispatch here if it's not sold out. But I don't think that the Dispatch probably is delivering as many papers as they used to. Plus, I think it's $5 now for the Sunday Dispatch.
Well, I'm not really sure what's going on. I don't know if it's a purposeful thing to try to phase out the hard copy of the newspaper. I'm not really sure what's going on, but people are ticked.
Yeah, you know, and I'm still one of those. I'm one of those old fashioned people. I like to sit there physically with the newspaper. And when I was working mornings, I subscribed to the Columbus Dispatch. I mean, I paid my own money to get the Dispatch, so I would have some things to talk about on, you know, slow news days or whatever. And the last 6 weeks, maybe the last 2 months, and normally, because I would go in about 5 to 5:15 in the morning, and normally the Dispatch was always there in the driveway. And the last 6 to 8 weeks, I'd go in, wasn't there. I'd go at 6:30 news, couldn't for 7 o'clock. And that last month or so, it was showing up about 9 or 9:30 in the morning. By that time, you know, your morning show's over. So it really wasn't doing me a whole lot of good. So when I retired, then I just let the subscription. But I'm still getting calls probably once every couple of weeks from the Dispatch. They have a new promotion. You know, if you subscribe for 2 weeks, you get 2 weeks free or whatever. And it's like, no, I don't need that anymore. So they're still trying to get you to subscribe to the Dispatch. But I'm sure they are prepped because, you know, I'm sure there's not as many people that are taking the Star as used to. Same thing with the Dispatch. It's probably tough to get people to deliver the paper, especially that early in the morning.
Well, one of the things that I am wondering about, how many people to this day still keep Bibles and things like that where they will clip out somebody's obituary or they will clip out a wedding announcement or they'll clip out a story about maybe somebody they know and they'll put it in there or they'll hang it on the refrigerator. You can't do that on. Do you print it out? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, I got a lot of articles from over the years from the Peanut Push or when I retired or, you know, WMRN was doing their 75th anniversary and the Marion Star had a story about that. And you're right. You keep those papers and you cut them out and you can't do that now.
We're going to take a break here in about a minute, but this was always one of my
things.
Is
it 9 o'clock?
It's almost 9 o'clock.
Wow.
So we blew right by.
I guess.
Well, one of the things that has always bothered me about that is what you just said. In the early days of, and WMRN was the first broadcast outlet here in Marion in 1940, coming up on, what will it be this year? Started in 40, this is 2019, because it's December 23rd.
Yeah, next month it'll be 59 years.
59 years. No, that's
or
not
60
right.
60 years.
No, more than that.
80 years.
80.
79 years.
Well, did you used to count the money for the Peanut Push? No, but one of the things that always bothered me about this was, like when Randy Winland was in here talking about the Crystal Lake book, all the research for that came from Marion Star articles.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But since there was an advertising battle between the Star and the radio station, especially in the early days, the Marion Star did not cover anything the newspaper or the radio station was doing. And because the radio station, when it became Worth Kramer, threw out everything pretty well that they had, they don't have much of a record of what was going on. You can't go to the Star and look it up because the Star was purposely not covering stuff like that,
right, yeah,
because they were a competitor.
Yeah.
So the broadcast history of Marion is going to be lost, much like World War II history, if somebody doesn't go talk to these people who were there in the beginning pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So that might be a project for somebody over at the Historical Society. We're going to break. Jeff Ruth is here for 2 more hours. Charlie comes in at 10, and the Leshefsky family starting at 11 and running through 1, a live performance. Kicking off the holidays here on WWGH Radio.
Martha, now Martha, how do you spell Christmas?
K-I-S-S-M-A-Kissmas. K-I-S-S-M-A-S.
Thank you.
That's what Josie told me.
Well, Martha, you have a wonderful holiday season and a Merry Christmas.
You too.
WWGH Radio, your place for holiday fun, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address